This episode of Bend the Knee is brought to you by Lord Jason of House Ross, Lady Amanda of House Richardson, Lord Adam the Young Bull of House Parker, Sir Peter of House Whittingham, the Ghost of Harrenhal, Lord Nelson of the Long Isle, the Mother of Cats, Sir Joshua of House Ross, Lady Kendall of House Taylor, Lady Liz of House Hendricks, Lord Hunter the Foulmouthed, Captain of the Guard, Sir Dustin the Rooster Knight, Captain of the Guard, Sir Ron of House Golson, Captain of the Guard, Lady Amanda, Captain of the Guard.
Hello and welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt, the Bud Knight.
And I am Sir Ezra, the Watchful. Welcome to our Song of Ice and Fire book club. Today we're into chapter 59, Catelyn 9 of A Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Solid chapter today. Moving right along, you know, Sir Ezra, as I feel like we're getting close.
Yeah, we are. We really are. I'm looking at my book here and I'm just sort of like, wow, we're at the tail end here. Yeah, it's because I was reading ahead just on Catelyn, you know, and her chapters and stuff, and I'm just sort of like, there's really not much. Mm-hmm. It's exciting, getting right towards the end, and things are heating up. I mean, we get a lot of talk in this chapter just about the wars to come, setting the pieces, really. I feel like it's a, you know, like a chessboard, and people are kind of maneuvering. No one's really struck yet, but, I mean, there's been a little bit of fighting over in the Riverlands, which we hear about, but then the bigger pieces are getting into position. So, Yeah. It's exciting. It's cool. So, we do want to welcome again. I mean, we're still getting new listeners every day, and we're happy to have everyone along. So, this is a reread, you know, for Sir Matt and I, but some of you, it might be your first read. So, I was thinking today, because Sir Matt, I wanted to kind of, in some of our cool connections and even some of the Maester study stuff, I feel like sometimes I want to jump like way ahead, you know, and so I don't want to alarm anybody if they hear me, you know, start talking about Dance of Dragons or something like that, because it is a reread, and we've all been kind of spoiled by the show a little bit, really, if you're a show watcher. So, but yeah, where we can, we're going to tie in some connections to later on in the book, and it happened with the Barristan Selmy episode that we just did not too long ago, and talking about what happens to him down the line. I think we get a nod to that. Oh, that's the next chapter. I was reading ahead again. So, and John, next week, we are going to get a little nugget for Sir Barristan Selmy. And I always try to keep a close tabs on him and his whereabouts and what's happening there. So, yeah, I just wanted to fill everybody in, anyone who's new to the podcast, just to kind of the format, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as we continue this, Sir Ezra, one of the things I just keep thinking more and more is how different the books are from the show. You know, but when we were watching the show, I just kept thinking, oh, you know, the books are actually a lot closer, I think, than people realize. And now that we're back in the books, I'm on the opposite side of the spectrum. I just keep thinking, man, these are different. These are way different.
Yes, they are. And I mean, to the point where I even started to rethink R plus L equals J. You know, I was sitting there, I was like, oh my gosh, it's funny to me sometimes when I'm reading and I think about all the characters. I mean, and our cool connections today, I brought up a character, one of the knights that's kind of loyal to House Lannister that we'll talk about later, that I'm just sort of like, what happens to that character? There's just so many of these other minor characters that are around for quite a while and are still alive in the books.
Right. You know, I just did a musing on Patreon about Mance Rayder, kind of like an intro to the is Mance Rayder Rhaegar Targaryen theory, because in the books, he doesn't die. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking about that. And I was talking a little bit with one of our patrons about that. And it's just a vast difference. I mean, a character like that just plays such a huge part, and something you'll probably hear us talk about as we just in this chapter, there are some references again, as there are in or some alluding to in about all the Catelyn chapters, this character, Lady Stoneheart.
Yeah,
Yep, and you know, you keep, I heard a handful of connections again of things you can look back to and say, wow, that looks like it's going to allude to Lady Stoneheart. So we did a Sreza and I did a Patreon episode about that. Actually, we did two episodes as we've kind of started this Show Watcher's Guide to the Books, which is a intro, kind of a, hey, you're coming from the show. Here's kind of a guide to a lot of the characters we're going to be talking about in the books. And Lady Stoneheart is definitely a character you'll probably hear us reference once or twice today, so you can check that out there. But again, just another huge difference between the show and the books.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny that you bring that up because so you did the Rhaegar Mance, and then we talked a little bit about Lady Stoneheart here, and I was even thinking about Bloodraven again as we were reading this chapter, and I was even reading John right before we started the podcast, and there's a reference again to numerous ravens, and then they distinguish between crows and food for crows, and crows feasting and eating, you know, certain things, or, you know, it just seemed like associations with death and stuff. So it was just kind of cool. My mind was, you know, spinning again, and I'm trying to, you know, think through all of the crow raven craziness that is in the series. So
absolutely.
Yeah. But so, all right. Well, hey, yeah. So small council, I mean, just real quick.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, are things good over on the West Coast?
Things are really good for me, man. I got some good news. Something I've been kind of working towards, is it looks like I may finally be able to, I've been kind of considering going part-time at work. So I can start kind of focusing more and more time on podcasting and things like that. And obviously, you know, you and I have several projects, and being really helpful with people supporting us on Patreon is kind of going to allow me to do that. And so now I'm going to be able to devote quite a bit more time to these podcasts so I can make sure that they're the best quality that they can possibly be. So things for me are really awesome right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. And your situation, we've been talking about it, you know, this week, and I was, it's literally the best of both worlds. I don't know how else to put it. It's like, it's part time, but it's not. So
right.
It's great. Anyways. And yeah, there's more that we can, you know, do on Patreon, or just spend more time on the outline, spend more time in the reading, looking up and making cool connections and stuff like that. I think that's exciting for me too. 'Cause that's all totally, totally worth it. You know, it's like, it's all about time. You know, Sir Matt, as you say, it's all about time.
Time is a far more valuable commodity to me. So,
yeah, absolutely. So that's good. That's good. Yeah. So, and for me, I mean, it's crazy. Like we both the last couple weeks have been in this situation where, I mean, I'm looking for different opportunities as well, and still out there on the hunt. I wish there was a job where I could just take a little meat, a little mead, and some cheese, and just hit the road. You know what I mean? I just want to get Thunder, you know, my horse Thunder underneath me, and I want to take off, you know, and I just want to, it's crazy, man. I do a lot of driving for my job, and I drive, and I love driving and just listening to podcasts or to audiobooks and stuff. That's why we kind of do what we do. But as I'm driving, I'm sort of like, I look over in the, and I've said this before, I look over in the woods or the forest or down by a creek, and I'm like, man, that would be just, I think of Dunk, you know, I think of Dunk and
exactly,
like the adventures that he had and selling my sword to, in service to some lord. It's like, come on. I mean, why can't I just go do that? Mm-hmm. So some people are out there like, just join the Renaissance Fair. Okay. Well,
yeah,
maybe I will. Maybe I will. So anyways, cool. So yeah, there's small council. Do we have, are there any other, like, I haven't really seen much in the way of like Game of Thrones news necessarily, right? Like,
No, there's started to be a few more tweets and things about Blood Moon, which is going to be the Game of Thrones prequel. I think it's Naomi Harris. Who it is? The woman who's going to like the cast.
Don't know. I haven't really given it much look.
Naomi Watts. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
Naomi Watts is the woman who's like the main cast person, who is, she kind of tweeted and said, fans will not be let down by the prequels.
Really? Okay. All right. I love it. So now, is it supposed to, again, I think I've asked this before. So like, kind of a next year thing in the fall? We said this last week, right? I mean, so
yeah, we don't know yet.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I'm just kind of wondering, like, when are they gonna? I don't know. Just I'm anxious to get more news about it, you know, and really, and I want to know how much George is involved in it too. I know that he has handpicked some of the people to kind of oversee it and things like that. So that's kind of cool and gives you good vibes about it. But then I'm also sort of like anxious that Winds of Winter is still not done. But I don't know. All in due time, I guess it'll be worth the wait either way. So for the prequel and for the book. But okay, cool. You know, the other thing I did see news-wise just was that like someone was talking about the possibility that we could have seen direwolves versus a zombie dragon. Did you see any of that?
Yeah, I did see that there was a potentially a like 50 direwolves scene. Like there's 50 direwolves and they're fighting a dragon that was cut out. You know, maybe when the Blu-rays come out, they will. I don't know. Maybe when the Blu-rays come out, they'll have extended features, extended cut, deleted scenes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like one would think was. Cersei's miscarriage or something, I think, was...
Mm-hmm. Was something was also, that was filmed, right.
Yeah, and then was cut out, didn't make it, so...
And that happens. I mean, we talked about the difference of watching, say, like, Lord of the Rings versus Lord of the Rings extended cut. It's a huge difference.
Yeah, it is. It is. So it would be nice to kind of know what was there, I mean, what they planned on filming and stuff, so... Yeah, I don't know. So anyways, well, we'll stay tuned and just kind of keep looking forward to more news. If you guys hear of anything, be sure to check out the Facebook group, like it, you know, share it, and then get in there and post some of the news and let us know what's going on.
And do not forget that Raven's Nest is this coming Saturday, June the 29th, yes. At 8 p.m. Eastern time.
Yes. So glad you mentioned that because we almost forgot to. I didn't put it in the doc. So, yeah, good. Raven's Nest. Get some round robin stuff from our patrons, our bannermen, just on the end of season 8 Game of Thrones. And then also, we've got a couple Ravens stashed away here that we might pull out and read and see what our bannermen have to say on those matters. So, okay. All right, buddy. Well, should we head over to the Maester study?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So in the Maester study today, I thought we would just kind of talk briefly about the late Lord Frey. It's referenced in this chapter. We're introduced to Lord Frey and Walder Frey. And there's a lot of history, if you will, just when in Catelyn's conversation with him and all of the wrongs that House Frey has gone through. And I thought it would be kind of cool just to talk about those a little bit so we understand some of the things that you're going to bring up today, Sir Matt, you know, some of the grievances that you have with other characters in relationship to Walder Frey. I think to do that first, we got to understand the history. So from the wiki, really, just I'll read here the first paragraph. As a toddler, Walder was present at the wedding of his elder sister to Lord Ambrose Butterwell at White Walls. Now, White Walls is gone, right? I mean, it's something that we know in the Duncan Egg tale. It was
the mystery night. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was dismantled, torn down. It is said that he caused the marriage when he discovered his sister having intimate relations with a servant. Okay. Sir Duncan the Tall thought that Walder was an extremely annoying child and was sorely tempted to throw him down a well. So a little tie back to a series that Sir Matt and I love, just really, really enjoy the Duncan Egg series and kind of crazy to think, you know, Walder is, he's old. He's old, and so he's a youngster during this time, during the Hedge Knight series, and was there. So and Sir Duncan had encountered him, which is just wild to think about, because we always think of Sir Duncan just being in the histories, and you know that tale is not finished. We don't know how long he stayed around. Did he go to Winterfell? Did he go to the Wall? All that good stuff. Well, we know he went to the Wall, but where did he land? Where did he stay?
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, it is interesting to see, a young Walder Frey. And that's just how close that is, that the Duncan Egg tales are.
Right.
We think of it as a lot further away, like you said, but they're really not. They're just about 100 years before. So some characters who you may see, there's certainly two characters in those we see later, Walder Frey and Bloodraven, but there are some others which may be characters in the main series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So anyways, interesting little connection. So now something else, he has a lot of grievances, you know, when in this chapter, when they're working their way, Catelyn's kind of talking about, well, he's got 4,000 troops there. Why haven't they gone over to River Run to support? Is he in league with the Lannisters? And really, here's a bit of the history that would suggest that he doesn't like the Lannisters because they've wronged him as well. So Tyros Lannister, actually Walder proposed that his second son, Eamon, would be married to Tyros's daughter, Jaina. And he, you know, kind of, let's see, then the tenure. Yeah, yeah. So Tywin was someone who was speaking out against that match. So it's like he's tried to set up a lot of like his sons and grandsons with different lords in the realm, and no one will associate with him really. And they kind of wrong House Frey in a sense, and they don't really. I don't know if it's just because of his nature, because we'll talk about him being very blunt and less courteous maybe than other characters, but House Lannister definitely shuns the proposal. And it was one of those odd things, because most of the time the issue is with Hoster Tully and him trying to, yeah, he's trying to wed some of his sons to House Tully or to some of the other lords in River Run, and he just felt slighted. So he tries to go even further west to the Lannisters and make some sort of pack, and he's kind of shunned there as well. So that's again another slight, if you will, to them. So now the reason he's called late Lord Frey, during Robert's Rebellion, same thing he's kind of doing here, Sir Matt. He's gathering his forces, and he decides he waits until he has his full force. So what is your full force? You know, it's like you're waiting for five more guys to show up.
He bides his time. He waits. And we'll talk a little bit about it when we get to the chapter about just the importance of the twins and its location. Mm-hmm. And that's by far his most for being a smaller house. He is a really significant house just because of his location.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
It gives him the ability to kind of sit back and do whatever he wants.
Uh-huh. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, and the person who coined that nickname, though, and this is one of the things, this is what starts it all. So during Robert's Rebellion, Walder and his levies and his men arrive at the Battle of the Trident after the rebels had already won. So they arrive too late, and it was Hoster Tully, Lord Paramount of the Trident, who basically calls him the late Lord Frey. And ever since it's been whispered behind his back, and he's been made fun of for that. And he's just distrusted, if despised, if you will. So interesting thing there. Now, something else that came up this chapter that I wanted to kind of talk about. We all remember the time when Sir Ezra wasn't as watchful as he should have been. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I remember that conversation. I remember making the point that, I had forgotten. For those of you who don't know, I had forgotten that I knew in the show that we had this reveal with Peter Baelish, being influencing Lysa Arryn to murder John Arryn and things. But in the book, I was like, I kind of forgot that we had covered that in the books, if you will. So right. In this chapter, actually, something really interesting happens where Catelyn kind of learns where their son, Robert Arryn, was supposed to be fostered at. Mm-hmm. And what does that tell us? What does that indicate? It was striking to her, and it's brought up for, again, a second time. And in this situation, Walder Frey he feels kind of slighted again, because he went to John Arryn and said, ask if he would take his grandsons to court at King's Landing. And then his own son, Robert Arryn, could come up to the twins and foster there. And this is something that a lot of the lords would do. You know, it was that Eddard, right, went to the
Storm's
Vale.
End.
Storm,
the Vale, you're correct. Yeah, yeah. He went with Robert Baratheon, yeah.
Right, from Storm's End. Yes, exactly. Yeah, so, I mean, it happens from time to time, and it's one of those things like, Just it's sort of a, I don't know. It's a show of goodwill. It's sort of get a lordling out there so they can kind of learn another region, maybe make some friends or some stronger connections. It kind of helps bring, I think, the Seven Kingdoms closer together. You know, it's like a good practice, and I think Walder thought that would be, you know, a decent. It's still kind of near the Vale and everything, and he's mm-hmm. right there, and it would kind of bring them just better relationships between the two regions. And he's shunned. John Arryn again refuses to do that. He'll have none of it. Now I think Lysa, again, which we've already talked about, just you see the way she interacts or the way she acts around her child. It's just, it's a little crazy.
Right. Yeah.
So there might have been some
kind of, yeah, kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know, but maybe there's great wisdom in the breast milk. I don't know. That's something, you know,
so works for Tormund.
That's what I was gonna say. We saw that in the show. So, but yeah, I don't know. Just a little bit of background on him and why he is the way he is, you know, in this mm-hmm. chapter. And because a lot of times he's the villain is what it starts on. I mean, you get hints of that. You get a lot of kind of foreshadowing in this chapter about him. But he's had years to just some of these wounds or injuries, you know, have just festered. Mm-hmm. And he's a bitter guy. So
well, and we'll get to it when we get to the chapter. But I think, man, the more listening to this chapter again, I mean, should we just jump? I mean, jump into it.
Yeah,
I mean,
let's jump into it. Yeah, because we're right there.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go right to the reread here. So last week we were with Eddard 15, where Ned was visited in the Black Cells by Varys, who brings him news. He urges Ned to admit treason, command Rob to lay down his sword, and denounce Stannis and Renly. And then Varys also tells him that Sansa's life is at stake. This week we are in Catelyn 9. The last time we were with Catelyn, Catelyn 8, Catelyn and Sir Brendan Tully meet Robb's army at Moat Cailin. Accompanied by a host from House Manderly in private, Catelyn helps Robb refine his war plans and explain to him that they have no option but to win or die. This week, Catelyn 9, Robb's host arrives at the Twins, where Catelyn negotiates their crossing of the Green Fork with Lord Walder Frey. So, as always, I usually like to read the first kind of paragraph here as soon as my Kindle lets me. It's freaking out here for a second. Right here. As the host trooped down the causeway through the black bogs of the Neck and spilled out into the Riverlands beyond, Catelyn's apprehension grew. She masked her fears behind a face. We'll come back to that. Kept still and stern, yet they were all the same. Growing with every league they crossed, her days were anxious, her nights restless, and every raven that flew overhead made her clench her teeth. So Rob's host is moving through the Riverlands, and we're moving toward the Twins, one fork of the Trident, to meet up with Walder Frey. And so, you know, Trezor, we talked just a little bit about, mm-hmm. We've talked about the Riverlands before when we were going through A World of Ice and Fire, and how the Riverlands is the central kind of hub, the central location in Westeros. Yeah. You've got Westeros, you've got the north to the north of it. You've got the Vale, you've got the Westerlands.
Right.
You know, everybody is close, and everybody's going to move through it. The Crown Lands are just a little southeast. And so everybody moves through. That's where like the Inn at the Crossroads is. It's a central hub. It's a lot of trade goes through there. And you have the river, the Trident, which kind of cuts it off and splits it off. And the Twins is basically it's a castle that's a bridge. And in order to cross the river, you have to go through the Twins. Uh-huh. So it is a huge strategic advantage for the Freys. I mean, their castle is great. You're going to have to pay a toll if you want to go through.
Yeah.
And, yeah. You know, one of the things we learn about in this chapter is, as you were talking about a few minutes ago, about Hoster Tully throughout history kind of slighted Walder Frey, because I think a lot of times they viewed Walder Frey as this, he's kind of a weird guy. Mm-hmm. He has, you know, like 100 kids. He's just,
gosh,
he has 100 kids and they're all named Walder or Walda.
Yeah.
And he's just really old and he keeps having kids. And so nobody really takes him seriously. He didn't even really show up at the Trident. He doesn't do a lot of favors for people. But one of his big things is that he wants to marry off his children.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have to, the way I view it is, I think Hoster Tully kind of messed up.
Yeah.
Because it's such a strategic advantage, and you being the seat of the Riverlands, that's like your Moat Cailin of the North. It's a huge strategic advantage, except I would argue it's even more important than Moat Cailin, because you can get through the North without going through Moat Cailin. Mm-hmm. It's hard to move around the Riverlands without crossing the Trident.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, especially depending on where you're coming from, which part of the Seven Kingdoms too. Yeah. I mean, could you stay east? Sure. But I mean, if you're, it's a huge obstacle that you either have to go way far south and come up around on the east side, or you've got to cross. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a huge point of interest. And it is interesting that, I don't know if it's because of their, like, River Run being further south. I don't know what it is. I mean, why there's this kind of rift between them, you know? Like why not take some of his, you know, his sons and make those packs or whatever, and give him the attention that he deserves. And I think maybe it's been because they've had strong relationships with the North, perhaps. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's very important. And so if you're coming from, even just depending on where you're coming from in the Vale, over the mountain range and stuff, it's like the major crossing point of the Green Fork.
And the King's Road.
Yeah. So it's just, very interesting, I guess, that he's kind of had this, slighted him in a sense, you know. So do you have any answers as to why? I mean, is it just the nature of Walder Frey? I mean, is it
I think it's the nature of Walder Frey. We don't really learn enough about Hoster Tully to really know if he just hated him or he thought he was better than other people. We know he does have, because most of Hoster Tully's story is told through us through memories of mm-hmm. Catelyn when she's visiting him as he's dying, and then he kind of has some fever dreams where he says some things. But you know, one of the other things we learned about him is that he has this estranged relationship with his brother, the Brendan mm-hmm. the Blackfish.
Yeah.
And so that's another thing. So there's another person we kind of see who he has this estranged relationship with. So it could be some of his character.
But, well, yeah, that's a good point. It could be Hoster, really. It could just be him. I mean, it was sort of, I brought up the whole Lannister betrothal situation, but that's kind of right. A far reach, I guess. I mean, it's just, that's, I don't know, he wasn't successful with his liege lord, so he's going to reach outside of his own region, if that makes sense. And that's why he went with the Lannisters, I feel like. But whereas, you know, this Hoster is that should be who he's able to kind of make some alliances with, or make some marriage pacts with and things. But yeah, he's way undervalued. But as you say, it's sort of like, if he has that bad relationship with his brother, and the reason he has that bad relationship, let's remind folks, is that Brendan Tully, like, refused four different marriage proposals. He just refuses to get married, right. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting. And we'll talk more about later just that character and why he is that way, which is baffling, I think, sometimes. And it probably baffled Hoster Tully. He doesn't know why his brother is not agreeable to these matches. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so let's really one of your big things too is just that's in your eyes an oversight on River Run. Right? I mean, ignoring the twins.
I mean, he has three kids. I would certainly be willing to give up one of them. I mean, you know, I mean, you obviously want to make the strongest alliances you can. So if you cannot marry someone to a great house, which he does, I mean, two of his daughters marry off into great houses, obviously House Stark and House Arryn. So, I mean, those are obviously better than somebody from your own region, but I still think you would want to marry somebody from your own region. That's the whole point of having multiple children. So that way you can kind of secure those alliances with your liege lords.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, look at in the show. I mean, I'm blanking, Ramsay Snow, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. I can marry Sansa, and in the books, it's like this fake Arya, right? But it's still that alliance to House Stark. I mean, that's like the House of the North. So you want to, that's a step up for them. And so I still don't consider if you are the liege lord. So if you're a Lannister, right, at some point in history, marrying one of your children off to like somebody from House Clegane, you know, one of your smaller important houses to just kind of secure your own lanes. You've got to be able to control your own region before you can start making bigger moves outside.
Yeah, 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 for sure. Yeah. So another thing that I was thinking of as you were talking about that too is that Hoster Tully also refuses to go to his weddings. Now, was that because he's getting sick and up in years and things like that? I mean, this last one, his most recent wedding, we know that is the case. But he said, well, he didn't attend the one before that to his seventh wife. And right. So it was another slight.
Yeah, I think that's probably a combination of, one, his age, and the fact that Walder Frey gets married all the time.
Yeah, oh, for sure. That's probably what he said. And maybe he had other things to attend to. And it doesn't really say. I was trying to see if maybe his son went. But that also might be a slap in the face because, you know, Hoster Tully refused a Frey bride for his son, Edmure, which is so ironic, right? It's just kind of crazy. We'll come back to that later. But, yeah, it's really, really interesting. So it does say, I mean, when Catelyn in this chapter approaches and she starts talking about Walder, that he's kind of, he's sharp-tongued, he's blunt, he's also cautious but very ambitious, and he's very kind of conniving. So although he, you know, actually your brother in the group, by the way, brought up, did you see that thing that he was talking about, that Nick was talking about?
No, I did not.
It was about, oh my gosh, giving them, oh gosh, guest right, essentially. So like when he had given guest right to later on at the Red Wedding, he kind of slides in a word or phrase that indicates that he could break guest right, and it's sort of this, it's something that I guess George, but I have to go look it up, but I saw it the other day, I'm like, what, you know? So it just kind of made me think that Walder Frey's, you know, he's a conniving guy, he's been around for a long time, he's got a lot of experience, and he's underestimated and he's overlooked. He does have a lot of insults, and I think it's just gotten worse with time. And so he was prickly to begin with. And I guess in your youth, if you're turned away, here, you know, the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time, and then it's like, well, each time it just keeps getting to the point where, you know, it's worse and worse, and you become cautious. You become the late Lord Frey because all he has is his family. He has House Frey, and he wants to make sure that they're in a good position. So since everybody else is going to treat him, you know, this way and overlook him and just take him for granted, well, I'm not going to just willingly stick my neck out there then for you, right? Because at the start of this chapter, he's got 4,000 men, and he actually gets on, I mean, he says to Catelyn at one point, like, it's your full brother who lost the battle. I mean, we haven't gathered all of our troops yet, but, you know, he couldn't hold until I got there. I kind of think he would have, you know, it would have been another month before he would have gathered his full force. I mean, he wanted every farmer and every, you know, boy who could hold a pitchfork to show up maybe and say that his full forces weren't there. But yeah, I see why he's doing that, I guess, is my point. So, okay, so back into the chapter, though, just a little bit. At the start of this, Catelyn is, she has to kind of, you know, what is Rob going to do? That he's cool little part where, like, every so often, I mean, every day, he would bring up a new bannerman, and he would ride with them like his father would, and he would listen to their counsel and showed fairness across the board to everybody. So I thought that was a cool moment for Rob. You know, he's taking what he's learned from his father and he's applying it here. And Catelyn notices that as well. But he at one point, she, you know, they talk about whether or not if Walder Frey will not let them pass, their option was possibly to siege, to take it by force, which they can't do. They said that they were talking about the nature of the twins. I never thought about this until I just reread it, that they can't fully encircle or fully cut off resources to the twins because they can't get to the other side, and they could not come in behind the Freys on the other side of the Green Fork. So that's what are you going to do?
A quote here. This is what Theon's saying. Lord Frey would be a fool to try and bar our way, Theon Greyjoy said with his customary easy confidence. We have 5 times his numbers. You can take the twins if you need to, Rob. Not easily, Catelyn warned them, and not in time. While you were mounting your siege, Tywin Lannister would bring up his host and assault you from the rear. Yeah, it would. Assaulting the twins was like assaulting Moat Cailin. It's a terrible idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it there'd be a lot of loss. I mean, because they're they keep talking about time. It's all about timing for them right now and getting down to help River Run and possibly just maneuvering, getting there ahead of the Lannister forces before they get too far north. But it's not a good idea to go up against the twins and try to take it by force. They're they're reinforced there, I guess. Mm-hmm. And they even talk about, could they go down a little further and could their horses wade across? Yes, but not with armored men and not with all of the armor and the everything that they have. They need to create like rafts, and they would almost have to kind of, you know, pull their stuff across.
It would slow them down. You could lose some horses, you could lose some men, you lose some time, you lose some equipment. It would take... If Tywin Lannister catches you, you're screwed.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. When you've got, let's say, half your forces maybe on one side versus half on the other, you know, you could really be in a pickle there too, couldn't you? Mm-hmm. So, and they'd almost have to do the crossing, if you look at a map, closer to the twins, so that way they wouldn't get caught with their pants down, essentially.
Right.
You know, if they go too far south... it's just they need to make that crossing happen now so they can then just... Because by the time they got everybody across, it's like they would be ready to meet the Lannister force just on the other side or something. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not what they want to do. So, and actually, doesn't she say, she almost counsels like, well, if we can't get across, then basically we should go back up to Moat Cailin and we should just hole up there and secure our border.
And what if I do not choose to pay this toll? Then you had best retreat back to Moat Cailin, deploy to meet Lord Tywin in battle, or grow wings. I see no other choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And right before that, too, they mentioned that the Freys have held the crossing for 600 years, which is pretty, you know, impressive. And at one point, I can't remember where it was at, they talk about the look of this thing and how it's way bigger than I think we think it is. You know, and I think this river is way bigger than we realize it is. It's not an easy thing to cross at all. So it's why you have this huge bridge with these two towers. It used to be wooden, now they're stone. That's you're right. Go back up to Moat Cailin. I mean, that's if you don't want to pay the toll. Now they don't know what the toll is, and you're not going to send the King of the North in there, right? You're not going to send in Robb Stark.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. I mean, even if you went in there with a host of men and things, at one point, I'm even worried about when they're in the middle of the bridge crossing and stuff. Now they have enough men that they'd have men on the outside, too, in case something were to happen crossing that river. But you're like, dude, they could really put you in a pickle. I mean, if they made you completely cross to the other side to meet Walder Frey, perhaps, you know?
There'd just be no way to support him. Even you have this conversation down here at the bottom. This cannot be sieged, my lords, Roose Bolton announced. Nor can we take it by siege without an army on the far bank to invest in the other castle, Helm and Talhart said.
Mm-hmm.
So you would need, it really, the only way to take the twins would be to have two sides attacking it.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
because it's basically it's basically just a bridge, and it has two big towers, one on one side and one on the other, and that's kind of their, that's why it's called the Twins, because it's two it's two castles.
Yeah, identical too. Yeah, with moats around them and everything. So yeah, they themselves are not easy to take. Just one, you know, tower at a time, but let alone you can retreat back across the river or reinforce across the river from the other tower. So, so I mean, she kind of gives him all that advice, and they figured out what they're going to do. They have to decide who is going to go treat with him, right? And they have to decide who's going to go. And actually, I think it's first Walter Frey's son comes out, his heir. I think he'll come out here in a little bit. He's in, because we know that Lord Walter is 90. He's old and he's suspicious. So, let's see where that's at. Because he sends out several of his sons, and they actually agree that Catelyn will go in to meet with Walter instead of her son. So, and they leave one of the other sons behind.
Yeah, Roose Bolton says, go in there alone and you're his. He can sell you to the Lannisters, throw you in a dungeon, or slit your throat as he likes. There's some foreshadowing for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So, Sir Stevron Frey. Okay. Yeah. So, they wanted her returned back by evenfall, and it's Sir Stevron who is out there to kind of greet them. And what is he, like 60 or something? And then, you know, he's later on, Walter will kind of make the joke that they're waiting for me to die, but I won't, you know, I'm not going to tick off. And because he's next in line. So kind of wild. But so she knows Walter Frey. I mean, she hadn't seen him in a long time. And she does know that there's this animosity between the two houses, her house and her father's house. And Hoster Tully, or I'm sorry, Walter Frey. So I think she goes in there. I think more. She's the best person to send in, right? I mean, are you going to send in one of his other lords? Are you going to send? You can't send Robin. She knows him. You know, she's not going to, I don't know, puff up her chest and try to demand certain things. And she knows the position that they're in, and I think is very, very smart in what she does. When he wants to speak straight truths to her, too, about their houses.
Yeah, and so when she walks in, it says, Lord Walter was 90, a wizened pink weasel with bald spotted head, too gouty to stand unassisted. His newest wife, a pale, frail girl of 16 years, walked beside his litter when they carried him in. She was the 8th Lady Frey. It is a great pleasure to see you again after so many years, my lord, Catelyn said. The old man squinted at her suspiciously. Is it? I doubt that. Spare me your sweet words, Lady Catelyn. I am too old. And so I do like that Walter Frey is, you know, kind of he's much like the Queen of Thorns, you know, Lena Tyrell, where it's like, don't give me these, you know, false courtesies.
Flowery words. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. It's straight to the point, isn't it? It's very, just blunt. And, I mean, cause he brings up the disdain between their two houses, and he's like, don't deny it. Don't deny it. You know, it's true. And to her credit, she's not going to, I mean, that would, trigger him even more, I think, to kind of pretend like that he hasn't been scoffed at. So, okay. Now, he actually, there's a couple points in here where he kind of gets on some of his heirs, if you will, like his grandsons and his sons, and one of his bastards, right? I mean, you just see right there that where they're trying to teach him courtesy and how to talk to Lady Catelyn, and he just sort of like, you know, gets on him and tells him off in a sense. He's like, you know, this is his play. I mean, he's not going to be told how to speak to anybody. Really? Mm-hmm. So when you're that old, too, I mean,
he's kind of a jerk to all of his children, which he has many of.
Which, again, so I know we want to get on Hoster Tully a little bit, but it's like, boy, this is one bitter guy who the way he talks about his own family is kind of like, oh, that's also the reason we don't like him, right? I mean, this is not very, I don't know. There's just not a whole, he says a couple of nice things about his grandsons later on, but that's about it. And I don't know if it's a front too, you know, sometimes like maybe you just want to act this way, but really deep down he does care. You almost kind of see it in the show when you find out that like the daughter that he was going to give over to Rob, you know, it's like they're all kind of like stunned, and he was sort of like, yeah, right. Well, you're lost. I mean, like, I try to tell you, like, I've, you know, I'm not, we're not all, I don't know. Like, there's this idea built up about the phrase, this false sort of narrative that's out there, maybe, and he's always kind of, it's either what do you do, play along with it, or do you look at the guy who's always trying to kind of undo it, or, you know, what do? You use it to your advantage? So that's just kind of what I think about when I think of Lord Walter and what he has to do to help his family survive. So really, they get to the point, and he wants to know, why are you here? And she says, to ask you to open your gates, my lord. She says this politely. My son and his lord's bannermen are most anxious to cross the river and be on their way. He snickered and says, to River Run? Oh, no need to tell me. No need. I'm not blind yet. The old man can still read a map. And yeah, she's not going to deny that yet, to confirm, yeah, we're going to River Run, and where he should be as well, right? And this is where you get that whole bit about him kind of saying that her brother should have been able to hold, you know, a little bit longer, and he shouldn't have lost that battle as easy. So, yeah, I mean, he's going up against the Kingslayer too, which it reminded me, you know, when these in the Kingsguard, when they command a group of forces, it's like legit. Like this is what they do. They study battle and war and things like that. So he's going up against he's going up against Jaime Lannister, member of the Kingsguard, big deal, and is just outmaneuvered. So because she at the beginning of the chapter, she's like super worried. Remember, it says that she was clenching her teeth with every raven that flew off her head, and I thought about that. I'm like, why is she like that? Well, it's news of her brother and of her father and of the events, maybe even of her husband, those ravens that carry messages. She's super worried. She knows that they're in a bad spot, and everything kind of hinges on whether you can get across the twins in time. So,
yeah. And I do like what Walter Frey says here when she's talking about, like, we need these so we can get across the river, and like, she kind of brings up, you should do it because you swore an oath to my father, and this is what my father's doing. You know, and she says, like, if you were strong enough to climb down from your own battlements, Lord Frey, you would see that my son has 20,000 men outside your walls. That'll be 20,000 fresh corpses when Lord Tywin gets here, the old man shot back. Don't you try and frighten me, my lady. Your husband's in some traitor's cell under the Red Keep. Your father's sick, might be dying, and Jaime Lannister's got your brother in chains. What do you have that I should fear? That son of yours? I'll match you son for son, and I'll still have 18 when all yours are dead. You swore an oath to my father, Catelyn reminded him. He bobbed his head side to side, smiling. Oh, yes, I said some words. I swore some oaths to the crown, too. It seems to me Joffrey's the king now, and that makes you and your boy and all those fools out there no better than rebels. If I had the sense the gods gave a fish, I'd help the Lannisters boil you all.
Yeah, wow. Which, I mean, right there, he kind of tells us, right? I mean, what his plan, that foreshadowing is littered throughout this this chapter. So it's crazy. I mean, they don't want to trust him. They know not to kind of trust him, but he is smart enough to see the winning side, to see who's going to win.
And, right. Do you think that I don't think that he would have betrayed them if they would have went through with it, if Rob had not, you know.
Right. I don't either.
I think he absolutely would have sided with them.
Because
he's the key to the North, and there's no way that the Lannister army could, with the power, you'd have River Run, you'd have the North on lockdown. There is no way that the Lannister army would have any shot of winning that war.
Yeah, no, and the young wolf, I mean,
and that's before you figure, I mean, just with the circumstances as they are right now, I say even if Stannis and Renly just sit out, I don't think there's any way that you could match a Stark River Run army with Tywin Lannister, with you have the Green Fork of the Trident on lockdown with Walder Frey. I think they'd have a tough time winning.
Yeah, well, and as you say, if he keeps his word, you know, you've got then some good, I don't know, you're invested in that house then, because you've made
these alliances.
If Rob
keeps his word, or if Frey keeps his word. Yeah, if Rob, yeah.
Rob, yeah. If Rob keeps his word and doesn't marry, you know, that's the big alliance, right? We know that Arya is going to be betrothed to one of his younger sons, and, you know, then Rob gets the pick, right? But that there will be this, that's a strong alliance. And really what it does is it makes up for the slights that he's had from House Tully. And okay, mm-hmm. well, and if you look at the twins too, it's pretty far north. I mean, it's right up
it's the key to the north. I mean, as far you to get from the Riverlands to the north, you've got to go through the twins essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So just kind of interesting that he, yeah, as you say, if he would have kept his word there what I was going to say is that the young wolf does so well after this, wins so many battles and everything, that like if you're Walter Frey, you're like, well, I picked the winning side. Look at that. You know, we're doing well. And then I'm not going to do anything to tip the scale to the Lannister's favor. I'll do everything I can to tip it this way because I've got these alliances. Well, you've already broken that. You know, I mean, now I don't have the one strong marriage proposal situation that I had lined up before. They completely went against, like, no one keeps their word with him. They don't follow through. And so you kind of see why he would do this, I guess. People are probably hating this, the idea that we're almost defending Walter Frey and what he does for his house, but it's
that's one of the great things about these characters that Gurr writes is, like, even Cersei, we argue, I mean, from Cersei's point of view, she's always doing the right thing. She's protecting herself. She's protecting her interests. Walter Frey's the same mm-hmm. way. It's just that we like the Starks because they're, you know, like the main characters. And yep. so Walter Frey betrays them. But it's Rob, and that's kind of the essence of most characters' demise, is they do something. They're set up a specific way and then they do something that is the opposite of what their character has always been, and it blows
costs
to pieces.
Yeah.
You know, like you and I like sports, Sir Ezra. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, oh, you're playing a very conservative game and then you decide to be aggressive, or the other way around, and it just costs you. You know, you
play
just,
action,
just
man.
You.
Play action, you know? I
right.
mean,
yeah.
Set them up with the run and then but yeah, no, well, and here's another thing too. If I kind of feel like, just that, well, I don't know. I mean, it would have. It just sucks that this went down the way that it did, because, like, later, the phrase completely. I actually see why. You know, you brought up the Cersei connection. I see why Lord Frey is kind of they protect their own. You know, they protect their family, and I think there's almost something there in House Frey that they're taking care of themselves. They're all, look at all this, look at all the brothers and sisters, and I'm surprised they don't have more infighting, you know what I mean, among all of the siblings and all of his descendants and stuff. So yeah, I don't know, it's just not a surprise after everything that we learn here. Oh, I know, I was gonna say, if they wouldn't have betrayed Lord Frey, then, well, no, never mind. I was just thinking that that wouldn't work. But anyways, I don't know. Like, I just see why he does this, and I think it's something people don't talk a whole lot about. You know, they don't talk about why Walter Frey does what he does. If all these wrongs would not have happened to Walter Frey, then I feel like maybe he could have forgiven Rob for this mm-hmm. one thing. But so much has happened to him over the course of his life that he is the person he is now, and he's not going to take, even if it was a slight little sort of backhand or slap in the face or whatever, he would have gotten pissed. But this is a big one. This is a big one. You broke your word. So, yeah.
Well, I even think from his perspective, right? Even when he betrays the Starks, he is, I mean, I think he makes the right decision based in the Game of Thrones at the time, because he gets his daughter, wed to Edmure Tully, who is now the heir of River Run. And so all he needs is to pump out an heir there, and you're now the grandfather. You've now just essentially, hey, River Run is within taking. You're this kind of the stronghold of the Riverlands. You've mm-hmm. eliminated the Starks to your knowledge, to the best of your knowledge, because nobody's even seen Arya for mm-hmm. a long period of time. You know, I mean, it'd be hard to think, oh, hey, the Arya is going to come back and be a faceless man and assassinate your entire
family.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you know, the odds of that happening, you know, at that in his mind are obviously pretty low, or, you know, something like that. So I still think in the Game of Thrones, I think he makes kind of the right decision. It's not a very good one. Mm-hmm. In terms of being like honorable or anything like that, but
yeah, no, you're right, because he gets River Run, and then you still have the Arya situation, and you know that the Boltons now are in good favor with the Boltons and the Freys tend to, you know, they've now had this little alliance later on that we'll learn more about up in the north and up at Winterfell, and then Arya, you know, still is playing a piece in that. I mean, air quote Arya plays a piece in that later on. So yeah, he does set himself up in a really good spot. So despite what happens with Rob, so I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of very, very interesting, because it's like, yeah, that's what you would do. Like you're right. We like the Starks, and so we think, well, that's, you know, bad Walder Frey, but really, he just makes a good move.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, even look at what he gets here. So to let them cross, what the end of the deal is Rob is going to take one of his sons as a squire. So that's mm-hmm. that's a win. Arya is going to have to marry one of his sons, and Rob is going to have to marry one of his daughters.
Yeah.
Yep. So you've just made a huge alliance to House Stark.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. And they have this massive force. You're up north there, and yeah, you're still, and you know that they're also, you know that House Stark, so now they're a little bit indebted to you, and so that's why this alliance has been made, and you're still in somewhat good favor, good standing with House Tully, because you just negotiated all this with Catelyn, and you were massing your forces.
And Rob and Rob and Arya are also half Stark, half Tully. Yeah. So
yeah, all around, put themselves in a really good spot. So, but yeah, I don't know. The whole time, to one of the things we get at the beginning of the chapter and at the end is just that Catelyn is just, she's just worried about this, you know, and it's she has a lot of angst, I guess, just about this, about Walder Frey and just the things that are happening with her family. In River Run, and then she's got to stay strong and stay here and work with Rob, and she's just, you can see her mind being all over the place, right? A bit of it's in King's Landing with her husband, someone's with her father and her brother in the Riverlands, her kids back up in Winterfell, and then here with her son who is leading this force. I mean, her attention is, it's, I don't know, I can see her being, well, actually it does sort of tell us why later on she makes some of the decisions that she makes. Really, mistakes, mm-hmm. if you will, or what have you. But yeah, just because she's torn in so many different directions, and that family, duty, honor kind of comes back to get her later on. So, but yeah, I thought it was interesting to do this. So as they ride across, so basically, you know, Rob accepts. He accepts all of that, and it was kind of cool because he doesn't flinch, right? He's just like,
right. I just,
absolutely.
Yeah, I do just like that one. This was one last line. Yeah, Rob doesn't flinch. I see. Do you consent? Can I refuse? Not if you want to cross.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And so he consents. Yeah. I mean, and it just says he was no longer a boy. I mean, he really made like a lord's decision. He made like a man's decision there to go into a marriage pact and mm-hmm. knowing what it meant. Yeah. It's just that he is a boy, and it's yeah.
Even though, you know, the other thing you got to, I think about is from Rob's perspective, mm-hmm. This should actually also be a good decision, because mm-hmm. you just assuming, you know, let's just, whether the objective is just to be independent or the objective is to just go beat the Lannisters and get your dad and your sister back, and then who cares about what's going on? At the end of the day, you just secured the Twins. So the any Lannister army or any army that's ever going to try and march north to take back your, you know, possible independent kingdom is going to have a really difficult time doing it unless they do it by sea. So even for Rob, this would be a win. I just don't think he doesn't really see that far ahead.
Well, and see, that's what I was trying to think back to, like, in some of the origins of House Frey. I just actually pulled up some of this, but, like, you know, what is it that people like Rob or other characters in our story, is it just Walder Frey, or has House Frey always been notorious for this type of behavior and been a mistrusted kind of house or whatever, or is it just the nature of this guy? Because if he's 90, he's about to die, and, right. you know, he's going to die soon, even though he's been hanging on, and you'll have someone else who will step up, become the lord of the Twins there, and you can make better relationships with.
We do see the two young Frey boys that get sent north, and they play with Rickon and Bran a little bit, and they seem to be okay.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they do, and there's little, I mean, you know, I think they're, there's some back and forth between them, but it's kid stuff, you know what I mean?
Right, if they're just kids, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, I mean, according to, we skipped it in this chapter, but somewhere where he talks about, I think Walder says that they're, when he references those two grandsons, he says they're just kind, good kids. You know, I mean, to him, they're, I don't know, there was something to them that he was like, he enjoyed them. Unless it's all front, and then maybe he just sends off, like, the two worst grandsons that he has, which I don't know.
Right, yeah,
did,
could
but,
be. Yeah, could be, yeah.
But maybe, I don't know. Yeah, and I was looking up the history here, too, just about where House Frey was in all of this, because they're around for 600 years. They were here during Aegon's conquest, and they actually did aid Aegon the Conqueror and rebelled against Harren the Black of Harrenhal. Mm-hmm. And they kind of help, bring House Tully in as they swear fealty to them and everything. So, yeah. I mean, one of the things, I don't know if you remember this, Sir Matt, so I just looked this up. So Forrester Frey was mocked as Fool Frey for asking for the hand of Princess Rhaenyra Targaryen during the Dance of Dragons. House Frey sided with the Blacks, Queen Rhaenyra. So there's some situations where just Rhaenyra. He looks like a fool because he's asking for the hand of the princess or whatever. But I mean, come on, everybody wants a chance to climb the ladder. Right.
Right. Yeah. People look back at them as upstarts and toll collectors. Right. Is because that's how they get their money. They don't have mines. They don't have, huge fields of grain to sell and things like that. They just collect tolls.
And that's sort of probably that's a really good point, because that's what irks people a little bit. Right. Is that, like, and I don't know why it should. I mean, they built the crossing. If you want to go build one somewhere else, why didn't you do it? But they did, and that's how they make their wealth, how they built themselves up. They don't have a big mountain of gold that they sit on and that they mine from and things. So, interesting. Okay, any other thoughts? Last thoughts on the chapter here?
No, I think Rob was set up to succeed here. And, we'll find out that he doesn't. But I think really it was a win-win for both parties. And it's just interesting to see how bad it ends up turning out.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Okay, I had an interesting character here, cool connection. Sir Adam Marbrand is a knight of House Marbrand and the son of the heir, Lord Damon Marbrand of Ashmark. He is one of the chief knights in the service of Tywin Lannister, Lord of Castle Rock. I bring him up because, every once in a while I come across a name or a character, and I'm sort of like, where does that character's arc end? And I hear this name come up quite a bit, and I kind of wanted to know a little bit more about him. And he's a character who's going to stick around for quite some time. He's the one in this chapter who, when Brendan Tully is scouting, he comes across Sir Adam, and they're retreating south. He had killed some of their outscouts, Brendan had. And Sir Adam is actually retreating, but he's burning as he goes. And he's sort of burning the land and kind of trying to consume maybe some of their resources and stuff. But he sticks around for quite a while and ends up becoming kind of the commander of the gold cloaks and different things. And he's very, very tight with Tywin Lannister and actually is a good friend, air quote, good friend to Jaime Lannister. So it's a name that you'll hear from time to time. And I just wanted to kind of tie it in here because popped up and caught my attention. So,
Hey, that's what these cool connections are for.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
all right. We have a couple ravens here, Sir Ezra.
Yes, we have a raven from Sir Chris of House Strobel. This is kind of cool. So I added a little extra there at the bottom to his raven. But I'll go ahead and read this. Let's see here. I'm enjoying the reread of the books. I just finished my own reread, taking about a month to sprint through them. Wow, that's a lot. That's
a lot, man.
Woo! That's sort about, of like a
that's more than a book a week because each book's about 30 hours.
Yeah, it's
30
I mean 40 it's,
hours, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean that's like Lady Alice who had said in 2 months had done sort of the same thing. There's just so many, you know, to get the gist of it, I think it is cool just to run through it and then come back and do a more in-depth read, which is really what you and I are doing.
Right.
So, let's see here. Yeah. Today's discussion about the tourney at Harrenhal, so this was last week, spurred me to look up what I think is perhaps the most interesting moment in Prince Rhaegar's trajectory. A passage in Storm of Swords where Artistan, still known as, he's Barristan Selmy, but he's not been outed yet as Selmy, is telling Dany about her brother as a young man. He talks about how Rhaegar was an avid reader as a youth and took no interest in the rough play of kids his age at court. Rhaegar then read something in his scrolls that made him want to be a warrior. He went to Sir Willem Dary, the master at arm, and said, "I require a sword and armor. It seems I must be a warrior." It will be interesting to see if Gurm ever revisits this, the moment that Rhaegar started down the path to Lord Wendt's tourney and eventually the Trident. Sir Chris. So I thought, yeah, this is something you've brought up before, Sir Matt. It's just like, what is it in the scrolls? What is it that causes Rhaegar to pick up the sword and to start fighting and to start training when it kind of goes against his nature?
This is a moment you and I have talked about a lot. I mean, we have talked so many possible scenarios or theories. One of the things that the show did not do that the books are just have to. I mean, the books just can simply not. And Gurr's too good of a writer to not answer these questions is why.
Yeah.
Why did Rhaegar and Lyanna get together? Was it just that they loved each other and then just by circumstance, Jon happens to be the rightful heir to the throne? I don't think so. I think there's something obviously far bigger about it. Remember, the show is a Game of Thrones. The books are a Song of Ice and Fire. Yeah. You and I have talked about things possibly influenced from the Three-Eyed Crow or Raven. Either the Three-Eyed Raven in the show, Three-Eyed Crow in the books. Possible influence there. There's speculation, R'hllor. He finds out something about the three heads of the dragon, the prophecy of Azor Ahai. Maybe Rhaegar views the darkness as his dad. As his dad is becoming more and more crazy, he's the one who's turning, bringing the realm into dark times, burning people, and just the path he goes on. They start having an estranged relationship. Rhaegar ends up going to Dragonstone. This is obviously before that, but that does happen. You look back at Aegg and they were kind of believing in the prophecy of Azor Ahai and that somebody from their line would be Azor Ahai and they try to bring back dragons. It's possible Rhaegar realizes I need to be a warrior. I think it's more than, he just reads a book and decides I need to become a warrior. And these are the things I think we'll have answers to certainly in the next two books as he finishes out. It's just something that the show didn't have time to do and didn't take the time to do.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And let's hammer something home here real quick, because something we brought up either last week and we're going to bring up more in the Patreon series where we're covering the tourney at Harrenhal is Rhaegar. You know, I know that growing up in the royal family and stuff, he was trained, he had some type of training, and he was maybe kind of he knew enough, right? But at some point, he decides that he needs to become a warrior. He needs to be better than what he is, and he starts his training. But it seems like he starts that not later in life, but a little later in life than maybe someone like Sir Arthur Dayne or Sir Barristan Selmy or some of those other guys.
Probably, I don't think he gives an exact – I don't think – to my knowledge, there's not an exact date given of when that happens. But it just – it seems like he's probably around like – I'd say like 12 is just a – like about to me when it seems like that happens.
Yeah, and maybe even later. I mean, so my point is that I don't think he's that good of a swordsman. I don't think he's that good of a jouster, that good of a warrior. And the reason I say that is because it seems like at Harrenhal that, as you said before, Sir Matt, Barristan Selmy lets him win. You know, that they they clear a path.
It's certainly possible because Rhaegar loses other tournaments.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The only tournament he wins, because that's something in the show that Danny talks about it too. Is like, so did he win many tournaments? No, he won the tournament. So he really only won the one. And yeah, Barristan Selmy, when he talks about it, or Arderson Barristan Selmy, excuse me. Either way, same thing. He says, you know, later, this is something we talked about, was it last week or
yeah, I think it was
in a Patreon episode. I think in the Patreon episode we talked about Barristan Selmy doesn't say, "Oh, if I had been a better jouster that day, I would have beaten Rhaegar." He says, "If I had been a better knight that day,
maybe
all of this wouldn't have happened."
Yes, and yeah, so that to me makes me think that there was a plan that he knew. I almost wonder, and this is just again me completely speculating, but like, did he have a green dream that showed him in a position winning a tournament that he would need to win, that he knew he needed to become renowned as a warrior, as a fighter, perhaps? Maybe it's, I guess also think about this, if he's trying to conspire against his father and you need another person to take over, you know, you want him to be kind of warrior-like and have studied the arts of war and things like that. I mean, he's known for his singing and his poetry and other things and being very intelligent and smart. He's not known for being a warrior until later when he decides to become a warrior, if you will. And I think a lot of it might be a facade.
So right here, a Dance with Dragons, the Kingbreaker. The memory was still bitter. Old Lord Went had announced the tourney shortly after a visit from his brother, Sir Oswald Went of the Kingsguard, with Varys whispering in his ear. King Aerys became convinced that his son was conspiring to depose him. That Went's tourney was but a ploy to give Rhaegar a pretext for meeting as many great lords as could be brought together. Aerys had not set foot outside the Red Keeps since Duskendale, that's where he gets captured, yet suddenly he announced that he would accompany Prince Rhaegar to Harrenhal, and everything had gone, you know, awry from there. If I had been a better knight, if I had unhorsed the prince in that last tilt, as I unhorsed so many others, it would have been me to choose the Queen of Love and Beauty.
Yeah.
Rhaegar had chosen Lyanna Stark of Winterfell. Barristan Selmy would have made a different choice. Not the queen who was not present, nor Elia of Dorne. You know, this is where he talks about Ashara Dayne.
Ashara Dayne.
Right? Yep,
exactly.
And, yeah, I mean, that's what it's the more you and I research this, and this is a huge thing we're going to be talking in that four mega part Tourney at Harrenhal Patreon series that we're going to be doing, is the Tourney at Harrenhal. There are so many. It is everything in this series.
Yeah, it's huge. Well, think about what you just said, too. So the Mad King, who had been locked away, he has long, gross fingernails, it's described. He has, like, matted hair. I mean, he looks awful. He looks, like, ridiculous. And he had not come out since he had been captured. He would not. He actually, like, super protected Viserys and you know, all this stuff, right? He decides to come out for the tourney at Harrenhal. It's just, why? Why does he need to? It's one of the great... It's a great tournament, so whatever, but it goes against what he's been doing for years, for quite some time. He has locked himself away and become mad. So I believe, you know, whether it was true that Rhaegar was conspiring against him or not, the king believed it. He believed that he was, and so he wanted to be there to kind of see what was happening. So, and I don't think, by the way, that Rhaegar would have like killed his father. I think he would have just, you know, I mean, he's going, if he's going mad and he's losing his mind in a sense, you're just sort of, it's almost like he's unfit to rule, you know, and so you're just going to remove him.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I don't know. That's sort of what I think the plan was. But now, something interesting, though, in this raven that caught my attention was that he went to Sir William Derry, the master at arms. And I thought, wait a second. We talked about Willem Derry earlier on, just in regards to House Targaryen and moving them around, him signing signing the pact between Arianna and Viserys Targaryen. So Dorne and House Targaryen have that pact, and Willem is a part of that. His brother, who I just kind of forgot about, Sir Jonthar Derry, right? He's known as John Derry. Was the knight from House Derry. He's a member of King Aerys' Kingsguard, right? And so he's according to most sources, he's brother of Sir William Derry, master at arms at the Red Keep. And so I was thinking about, like, who would know what some of Rhaegar's plans were, right? Maybe who would maybe understand what he's doing and understand the prophecies, or I just think Willem Derry has way more secrets, or had more than we realized, or that we do realize, like with the whole Lemongate situation and everything that could have been happening with him taking Dany elsewhere. I think he just knows a lot more because his brother, if he is in the Kingsguard, you know, seemed to be someone who was maybe privy to some of this information, or some of Rhaegar's plans. So yeah, anyways, I just thought it was kind of a cool little connection. I didn't realize how close Willem Derry was to all of this. I just thought maybe he's just loyal to House Targaryen, but it seems like, you know, with his brother there, it's almost a closer connection.
Right.
So.
Right.
Anyways, all right. Well, yeah, just some stuff to think about. We're prepping again for here in July to really hit that tourney at Harrenhal pretty hard and kind of come up with our own theories, our own thoughts, and then read some of the stuff that's out there already. There's already some really cool thoughts on the tourney, which we'll share with you and kind of get your thoughts and keep going. So actually, and remember too, if you listen to part one and you want to influence part two, just leave some comments on the Patreon page there. We'll incorporate those into the next, it'll help us kind of evolve the theory and the discussion in the 4-part series. If you guys, you know, listen and provide some comments, I know, Lord Hunter gets on there often and provides us some good feedback on those episodes. So we really appreciate that.
Absolutely. So, all right. Well, Sir Ezra, it's about time to say farewell, but really quick, if people want to follow you on social media, where can they do so?
You can follow me, at WompRat_2M on Twitter, back on Instagram as well. You guys can add me on Facebook too. I've kind of turned my Facebook really into just like it's like my personal Facebook, but it's also kind of just I've turned it into almost like my podcasting stuff too. So that's where you can follow me. Where can folks follow you?
Anywhere on the internet at Super Gains Bros. That's all one word, Instagram and Twitter. You can follow us at BTKcast at on Twitter. We're there. Sir Ezra and I also have been doing a lot of stuff with our other podcast we've brought up before, Hyperspace Hangouts, a Star Wars podcast. Very similar to our follow-up Friday format, if you guys like that. We've had a lot of people who listen to this come over there and check some of our content out there as well, and it's been a lot of fun, so I look forward to more of those.
Yeah, and also I wanted to mention as well that anytime Sir Matt and I, if anyone's interested in maybe, you know, hopping on, doing like a 10-15 minute segment and being on some of the main show, we are looking for squires, and so if you just want to jump up for 1 month and be a squire, and do something fun with us here on the show, go check out Patreon. We've got that reward tier there too, just in case anybody's interested.
So. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So one last reminder again, Raven's Nest this Saturday, for those of you guys who are in that tier, 8 p.m. Eastern time, which is 5 p.m. Pacific time where I'm at, and a bunch of other times dependent upon where you are. Yeah. I know we have. I know we've have some people like Maglum. You know, some Lord Adam Parker. We got some people over in England, Australia, everybody who's joined us before. So we really appreciate you guys that you come and join us on that episode, so everyone can hear your thoughts. We're gonna be talking season 8 and just kind of how it finished. But all right, well, we want to thank you for playing the Game of Thrones. In our next episode, we'll be discussing Chapter 60, John 8.
If you like our podcast, don't forget to subscribe, like us, write a review, leave a comment, or send us a raven at btkcast@gmail.com.
We'll see you in a week, and remember that winter is coming.